Reading of God's Word. Begin with Proverbs chapter number 3. I want to speak this morning on the balance in the prosperity teaching. Balance in the prosperity teaching. We're in a day that I've never heard as many promises of prosperity and as much phoniness in trying to become prosperous, and as many false promises, and yet this book has some prosperity promises in it. And I would to God that every one of you were millionaires if you can handle it. Abraham was so rich that if he'd have sold his ranch for 10 cents an acre, he'd have been wealthier than Jay Gould. There was one time Abraham owned all of Israel, plus Syria, plus Iraq, plus part of Lebanon, and part of the Gaza Strip. Did you know that's pretty wealthy? And Israel's going to get all of that back someday. Hallelujah. I got excited. The original promise was from the river of Euphrates to the Great Sea. And from Mount Lebanon, the mount that stands with its snow-capped peak clear to the Gaza Strip. And one day, that full inheritance will be theirs again. Job was a rich man. Solomon was a rich man. Solomon's income was $20 million a year. So we're going to talk about true riches, prosperity, and the danger of prosperity. There's a lot more warnings against the danger of prosperity than there is promises for prosperity in your Bible. So we're going to balance it this morning. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Then let's go to the words of Jesus. Jesus spoke on the subject. Luke, and we'll reshare in Luke's gospel, the glorious reading of God's holy word. Chapter number 6, verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Paul gave some glorious admonition on this subject in the 2 Corinthians, and I want to read it before we go to our final reading. Chapter number 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But let me read this next verse. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That sounds like prosperity to me. Ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. May I read an Old Testament scripture, Leviticus chapter 27. And I want to read the fundamental, basic teaching of God concerning his portion in the work of the Lord. Chapter 27 of the book of Leviticus, and we begin reading verse 26-27. Only the firstling of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be an ox or a sheep, it's the Lord's. And if it be an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto, or if it be redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted to men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And that does not teach human sacrifice. That teaches those that are judged worthy of death cannot be bought off. Read again verse 30, and all the tithe of the lamb, whether the seed of the lamb or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. May we bow our heads in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to direct us in the word this morning. Father, we thank you for this lovely occasion, for the infallible, immutable word of God. We love you today for that privilege of searching the truths of God's holy scripture. I ask for direction. May the Holy Spirit give guidance and wisdom to the ministry of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. The law of giving is found in the book of Genesis. The first worship had giving in it. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof to God. Three times in your Bible it says, thou shalt not appear before the Lord empty. It was a requirement under the law that when you came to worship God, you had to bring an offering unto the Lord. Thou shalt not appear before the Lord empty. Exodus 23:15, 34:20, Deuteronomy 16:16. Always worship and giving go hand in hand. I looked again to the word. The first mention of tithe in your Bible is found in Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20. Abraham gave tithe of all that he had. And this was 430 years before the law of tithing was given. Abraham was a tither before tithing was ever in the scripture. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, and he didn't pay tithe on take-home pay. He paid tithes on everything he conquered from the kings of Sodom. When he brought home all of Sodom's riches, he brought it home and he gave tithe to Melchizedek. The law commanded tithe. Leviticus 27:30 says the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And that's a startling scripture to me. That word holy, I looked it up. It means sanctified, set apart, dedicated, holy, given to God. Whether it's in First National Bank or security savings or invested in other investments, it's still holy. Don't you know there's a lot of dollars down in First National that said, I don't belong here, I should get out and get in an offering pan. You see, it's always holy. Whether it's in First National, Federal Saving, it doesn't matter. God Almighty made one-tenth holy money. I like the way you're shouting this morning. Isn't this a wonderful subject? Jacob didn't have a thing but a bottle of brilliantine hair oil. When he left home, he left with his clothes in a knapsack, running from Esau, headed for Laban's house. And all of a sudden that night, he saw a ladder that reached from earth to heaven, and Jacob saw angels going up and down that ladder. And when Jacob got up the next morning, he said, this is the house of God. I'm going to name it Bethel, God's house. And he said, I feel like I ought to have a prayer meeting, and I feel like I ought to do something religious. He said, I'm going to take an offering. And he felt in his pocket and didn't have a thing but a bottle of hair oil, and he poured it on a rock. Hallelujah. And the book said, Jacob poured oil on a rock and said, Lord, if you bless me and you prosper me in the way, I won't make a thing or have a thing but what I won't honor you with my substance. It's a glorious, that's the covenant of giving to God. I'm coming to the prosperity. Keep shouting. Just want to build a foundation. Every firstborn of the Old Testament belonged to God. Not just tithe, but every firstborn sheep, every firstborn goat, every firstborn donkey. Now, if you kept the donkey, you had to offer a sheep because he was unclean and he had to be redeemed. But everything God claim the firstborn. In fact, every firstborn son was God's. You see, God made a deal with Israel. He said, every firstborn belongs to me. It doesn't matter whether it's man, sheep, oxen, regardless of what it is, everything that is firstborn belongs to me. So when God made that deal, then he had to do something about it. So he said, I want you to number the firstborn of all of Israel, so I'll know how many belong to me. Well, they found out there was firstborn. There was the firstborn was in the book of Leviticus, and of the male of the tribe of Levite were 22,300. All of them belonged to him. 22,300. There was male, there were that many males in the tribe of Levite. Let me back up and state it like I want to state it. In all of the tribe of Levi, there were 22,300 males. They found out that in all of the tribes of Israel, there was 22,373 firstborn sons that God Almighty had claim on. So God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. 22,373 already belong to me. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll trade them back to you for all of the tribe of Levi. It's in the book. And so God ordained the whole tribe of Levi to be holy unto the Lord and to serve him, and that redeemed the firstborn of Israel. Hallelujah. Every firstborn belonged to God. It's a glorious, glorious promise. Then there were 273 left over. They had 273 boys, more than there was in the tribe of Levi. So God said, you owe me $3.20 apiece for them. Hallelujah. I get amazed at God's plan. I read that the other day and I had me a time. I said, Lord, that's amazing. You still made them pay for them. Hallelujah. $3.23 because the firstborn belongs to God. Let me shout it today. The first fruits are still His. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Heaven never takes second place in any man's life. Your Bible said, when Jesus said to the man, follow me, and He said, let me first go home and bid farewell to my house. He said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Let me first go bury my father. And He said, let the dead bury their dead. Heaven is not first in your life. You're not on your way to the city. Look again. The Levites paid tithes, received 10% of all of the tribe of Israel. God put the children of Israel, the whole church, in the Old Testament under the percentage plan. Every tribe gave the first fruits to God and the firstborn to God, and then one of every tenth animal, every tenth produce, every one of every tenth belonged to God. And then the Levites gave 10% to the high priest. Aaron received 10% of all the Levites, the tribe of Levi. So the high priest was supported by 10% of the tribe of Levi. This was God's financial plan. Then every third year, all that are awake, lift your hands. Then the third year, they took an extra tithe. Another 10% every third year. And that was so the poor and the fatherless and the widows and the orphans would have support while they held the feast and the holy convocation. This is Old Testament doctrinal plan. Then the book of Nehemiah, he was a restorer of tithing plan. Nehemiah brought back tithing and demanded it. And threw Tobiah out of the parsonage. I'd like to have been there when he got him by the hair of the head. Some of you don't believe in getting desperate. Nehemiah got him by the hair of the head and yanked him out of the parsonage. Hallelujah. Several years ago, Uncle Jake Miller was preaching in Oklahoma, and some young men were cutting up in church, and he went back and grabbed one by the suspenders and the seat of the pants and threw him out the window of the old church and said, the Bible said, in the name of Jesus, cast out devils. I'm casting man and devil out. Solomon taught giving to God. Honor the Lord with thy substance. With the first fruits of thine increase, and thy barn shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. That's shouting material. Hezekiah commanded all Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 3:15. It wasn't optional, it was a commandment of God. He commanded all Israel to bring their gifts and their tithe to God. Job offered to God sacrifice. And the book says, according to the number of them all. What a privilege it is to honor God with our substance. Jesus promised us blessings when we serve Him and honor Him with our substance. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With the same measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. Hallelujah. Malachi, bring the tithe into the storehouse that my house may be full. He said he would rebuke the devourer, he'd rebuke the plague, and he would open up his storehouse and pour out blessings we cannot contain. No one has ever heard this, apparently. Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. Hallelujah. What a blessing there is. Jesus looked at the scribes and Pharisees and said, you won't get to heaven just paying tithe or giving. In some quarters today, you'd think that was the only basis of getting to heaven. It's not so. I've listened to some programs and they'll intimidate you like you're going to miss heaven and you must be of the worst sort if you don't support this program. I'm not impressed with that kind of giving. We give out of a heart of love. We give according to the book. Not long ago, I heard an evangelist who said, I will not pray for anyone tonight till we've raised this much money. I don't believe in that kind of experience. I believe the sick need ministering to if there's not a dime comes in. I do not. Amen? We're servants of God. We forget who we're working for. An evangelist said the other day that he would not come to church unless they let him raise his own money. I think we forget we're servants of the Lord. We belong to the Lord Christ. I'll hurry this morning for I want to touch so many points, but I'm trying to lay a foundation so we'll have an assurance. Jesus said, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. And you think that's enough to buy your way in. It won't buy your way in. These you ought to have done, but you've got to not leave the other things undone. Judgment and mercy and kindness. And there's some other things to do besides paying tithe. No man buys a seat in glory with his tithe or with his offering. So this is the teaching of the word. Paul said, they that are taught, give to him that teacheth. Galatians 6:6. They that preach the gospel should live with the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. The Bible said, let every man lay by in store as God hath prospered him. Thank God for the privilege of being blessed of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 17 said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth not God care for the oxen? Many a church today, and most church trouble is over two things. Number one is money. Say amen. Most difficulty is over money. And the other one is over sin. Two things cause difficulty. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Brother, I held a meeting for Uncle Pete Winters, one of my favorite friends down through the years. Brother Winters took care of my mail, and of course they were just precious friends of ours. Sister Brankle got saved under Uncle Pete's ministry. Held a revival for him one night, and Uncle Pete said, we're going to receive this offering for Brankle. I want all of you to get your billfolds out and get ready to give. And he bowed his head and said, oh God, you said thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And God, if there ever was an ox, Brankle is one. Amen. I'm not sure what he meant by that. Amen. Doth not God care for his oxen? That's the reason why I'm a fanatic that the church should be on a percentage plan. If your church grows, the pastor's salary should grow. If it goes down, he should go down with it. Now say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a fanatic. I believe those that don't work don't eat. Hallelujah. I like the way we're going to get balance in this. If this tape doesn't burn in two, we're going to have a time. Share it with, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. I've taken small churches. A few times we stopped when we were on the field because we traveled most of the time as an evangelist. I did not stop at some of the better churches, probably two reasons. One, I may have not been able to get them, and the other one is, I did not realize my ministry would not be long, and I did not want to hurt in any way. I thank the Lord that I've had the privilege of being called to some of our finest churches and our fellowship in the last few years. Do not feel that that's the will of God for my life. But in those small churches, And we operated on a percentage. I've seen God take care and meet every need. And I did not cost the church one penny more than when I went there. It's an automatic raise. I don't believe we ought to sit in a boardroom, in a board meeting and a room and squabble over money and finance, and the preacher ought to have to be embarrassed to ask for a raise every year. Say amen. Get it. Brother Jew Arnold, I like what he said in Oklahoma City. They were having difficulty over the money. The secretary thought it belonged to him. And he wouldn't turn it loose, so they couldn't buy anything. Had to have two board meetings to buy light bulbs. And it was just a kind of a hard situation. And Arthur Arnold, that Jew, what a preacher he was, and something else to put up with. And Arthur Arnold took that pan of money in one night and brought all the board in and said, "Men, this money is tainted. It ain't yours, it ain't mine, it is God's. Now let's leave our hands off of it." Oh, how much difficulty arises over foolish little things in the church. And usually money is not the issue, it's the leverage we use to pry with. Thank you for those amens. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Again says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox." An ox was allowed to eat as long as he tread corn. And I believe that that's the way it ought to be in the ministry. When he quits treading corn, there ought to be less corn in the trough. Thank you for those good amens. I'm a fanatic for taking care of preachers. I'm a fanatic for a church not to worry about how much he makes as he'll do the job. But I do not believe there's any reward for laziness and foolishness in the ministry. Glory. Let me hurry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 said, "Charge them that are rich that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate." If God Almighty blesses us, let us not think it's our wisdom or our ability that did it. It's the blessing of my Lord. He giveth us our strength. He giveth us our wisdom. Some of us may have not got as much as others. One brother said while the Lord was passing around the brains, he thought he said trains. He took a bus. So my heart burns within me and my soul travails in spirit that God somehow will help us to realize the ministry of giving. Old Testament tithing was on a national level. New Testament tithing is to support the ministry. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8 says, "Hear, men that die receive tithe." That's present now. Again, 16 of the 28 parables that Jesus spoke in the New Testament deals with stewardship and money. Over half of all the parables that Jesus gave has to do with money. So now that's the foundation for my message this morning. Money matters. Number one, how we regard it. Let's talk about how we regard it. Paul writes and says, "The love of money," 1 Timothy 6:10, "is the root of all evil." The love of money's not the root. The love of it is the root of all evil. Beware that you fall in love with the riches of this world. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, if you'd like to turn and read it with me. Let's turn quickly in our Bibles. I want the lesson to be clear. We have a glorious scripture, I think, that'll be a blessing to our heart. 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 11. "And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemy, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I've done according to thy works. I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like thee. The blessing of Solomon was because he did not set his heart on worldly gain. God was pleased with the prayer of Solomon. If God was pleased because he did not set his heart on riches, then take heed lest this be a criteria inside of the church. Luke chapter number 12, verse 15. My master said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things he possesses. I've heard a lot of sermons, but I've heard very few sermons on covetousness. Beware lest we become maneuvers and connivers and envious to be rich. Your Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:11, if any man be called a brother, and if he's a fornicator, if he's an adulteress, if he is covetous, and he claims to be a brother, don't eat with him. You know, this book's pretty strong on sin. Now, he said, that's not counting the world. The world out here lives like that. But if anybody be a brother in the church, don't you eat with him. Pretty strong, isn't it? Covetousness, God hates. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is a sin that'll doom your soul to hell. Money matters how you regard it. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Someone's preached sermons and they said that's a gate in Jerusalem where a camel has to get down and crawl through an eye. Foolish preaching. That's not a gate in Jerusalem. That's not one that you've got to get a camel down and unpack him and take the pack off his back so he can get through. If it was, then the next verse is clear out of place in your Bible. For the next verse in your Bible says, with men it's impossible. So if it was a camel and you can get him on your knees and drag him through a gate, then this next verse is out of order. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Let me shout it. So God Almighty wants us to know we cannot trust in uncertain riches. We've got to trust in the true and the living God. If God blesses you financially, you people that love money that don't have it. There are people that do have it and don't love it. Say amen. There's people that money means little to them and they possess it. And thank God for that kind. A lot of people, the biggest problem they have is those that would like to keep up with the Joneses. I found some of the snootiest folks there are is folks that want to impress you. Say amen. And some of us have a hard time keeping up with the Joneses. About the time we catch up, they refinance. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many hurtful and foolish lusts. I'd like to come to the end with an answer to the Lord. I've held money in the right perspective. We need to keep some balance in this life. Our goal is not to be rich. Let God bless you.
But neither do I have much time for these folks that are too lazy to do anything. And then they sit around and are envious and talk about everybody else that worked hard to get theirs. I like the way you're shouting this morning. Some people are willing to do things, and others expect those that will do things to support them. While they sit around, look on, and grin, and look wise. Thank you for those good amens. I wish I could read on. Would you look? Don't go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to take a little time. We may run out of tape, but I want to spend a few minutes. Deuteronomy, Pastor Moses, pastored the largest Assembly of God church. Verse number 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God chapter number 8, verse number, let's begin with, let me see, verse 10. When thou hast eaten or full, and then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not to keep not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgment, his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God that brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, with which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is today. I wish we'd remember, with all of our accomplishments, it's his strength. One little blood clot the size of an English pea could fix it so we could never do another day's work. Never walk another step. Let's honor God with all of our lives, with our strength. It's not our wisdom, it's his goodness to our lives that's blessed us. We've been blessed with health. You've been blessed with blessing. Give him all of the glory. I'd like to look at Psalms 52:7 if you want to mark it down so you can read it when you get home. Psalm 73, David said, I nearly backslid when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Proverbs 28 and 30. Read it when you get home. I will not have to take time to read it. The book says in Proverbs 15:24, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 24 says, "Woe unto the rich." There's some many warnings in this Bible, more warnings than there is promises. We're in a day today when you think that God was running a Las Vegas slot machine. All you have to do is put your money in this and you'll come out green every time. Folks, we may serve God and lose all you've got, but God will still see you through. He'll give you a reward when you get to the other side. Look again, Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up treasure for yourself on earth, where moth doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but put some treasure on heaven." 2 Corinthians 9:8 said he's able to make all grace abound, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. It's a requirement for a preacher. Preachers, get ready. I wish the rest of that crowd was here so we wouldn't have to take it just by ourselves. It's required of a preacher, of a bishop, that he not be greedy of filthy lucre. Not given to filthy lucre. I looked up greedy, and that is using false means in order to be rich. We've never lived in an hour when there's as much gimmick and as much phonyism in raising money as there is right now. Not long ago, I'm going to share something. I hope that I'm not, don't go into enough detail that this tape gives it away. But not long ago, a family told of a famous preacher that years ago was famous. Today he comes into a city. He knows the rich in that city. He brings them together. He feeds them a steak. They have a big banquet. He shows them film. He has an orphanage that he raises money for. People empty their pockets. People pledge at least $1,000 a year. There'll be 40 people there. That's 40,000. Go to the next city and do this next thing. Do the next city and do the next thing. Go to another city and do the same thing. Raise money for an orphanage. And the pictures he shows are a total phony. He doesn't have an orphanage. He put up two posts, put a sign on it, had some little naked kids running around out in front, gets next to people's sympathy, raises their money, and told some of his kin folks, "I average $1,000 a day coming in my mailbox. His number's unlisted, and gullible people are swallowing it every day. But brother, what will hell be like for that kind?" People forgot there's a reckoning day. We may fool men, but we have not fooled God. Some of our good people out of good planning, have poured money into works, while behind the scene, if they knew, they drove royal Rolls Royces that cost $85,000 and $90,000. Live in luxury and in yachts and rent a whole hotel like they were Elvis Presley and trying to live like Hollywood stars. I wish we'd get back to just the ministry and be what God called us to be. Bear with me a little in my folly, I get carried away. Paul warned against preaching that gain was godliness. You're not a second-rate saint if you're still driving a Volkswagen. In fact, the men is keep that bug. It may be a collector's item. Amen. Stuff that we threw away years ago is what folks are buying now. I didn't know how wealthy we were when we was a kid, sitting on nail kegs. Now you can sell a nail keg. I can't believe it. Junk we thought
Ooh, they're buying single trees now. An old harness. And I even, when I built my new house, I fixed me a horse car. I mean a hane. And with a hane string around the mirror and put it in my bathroom. And I've got a cowboy mirror. I've got a bit that holds the part of the equipment. I've got a stirrup that holds towels. And man, we've got a cowboy bath. And I've got old-fashioned buggies. I papered it with, looks like old-fashioned newspaper print. And my wife's dad came up and said, if I'd have known you wanted that on the walls, I could have put that up. You wouldn't have had to pay this guy to hang that kind of junk. Oh, what I'm saying is this. My friend, there's a reckoning day when God's going to look at the secrets of men's hearts. And all this maneuvering and skinnery and pretense and false, I'm going to say it stronger than that, lies that have been heralded at people to raise money, God's going to bring it to judgment in that day. Let me hurry. I want to tell you, God's not broke. Ooh, did you hear me? He's not broke. I'm working for a big outfit. I got a brother-in-law that takes care of, he's in the chicken business. He's the top, one of the main men in Tyson. And he used to come see me, and I pastored little churches, and they'd fly him in and furnish him cars and furnish him credit cards. And he had everything furnished, and I was pastored little churches. And I told him, I said, Doc, they pay more to look at sick chickens than to do sick sheep. He's just living so high and doing so well. And man, we was having a time. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm working for a bigger outfit than that. Woo, hallelujah. Preacher that's hitchhiking down the church, and a fellow picked him up and said, who do you work for? And he's ashamed to tell him he's a preacher. He said, it's Lord's in church. He said, is that dry goods? He said, it wasn't intended to be. A lot of places it is dry goods. But brother, it's something. I want you to know it's something to be a gospel preacher. It's something to work for the Lord. Say amen. Because you see, my father's rich. And if he sees I have need of, he said he knew what we had need of before I asked him. Whew, isn't that wonderful? Glory, glory. I got to read the other day how rich we are. Haggai 2:8. The Lord said, the silver is mine. Mr. Hunt, I hate to tell you, but he just loaned it to you. The silver is mine. And the gold is mine, saith the Lord. Well, since he's got all the silver and gold, if I need it, he knows how to put it in a fish's mouth. I've never caught a fish in my life. I didn't look down in there. There could be something there. Some of them were so little they couldn't have had much in them. Job 41:11. Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. And I got in on the wheel of that. I read my wheel the other day and said, I'm a joint heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I got to shout. I drive down the road and see these skillionaires living in these fancy homes, and I just wave at them. Take good care of it, buddy. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. Say amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I went down through Georgia the other day, and they've got some of the most beautiful old homes that date back to the Civil War, and they're restoring those big mansions. I mean, they're beautiful. They're breathtaking beauty. And I drove by the other day, and I thought, live in that little shack, buddy. I'm coming back and get it. Because the saints are going to inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Hikaflutin folks won't be back, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Psalms 44:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Hallelujah. And I got in on this.
I got a little piece bought down in Texarkana. Got another little piece I'm paying on. Amen. And we've got us a house down there, and it's the fanciest I've ever lived in. Woo, does it look good? Say amen. We don't have the walks in yet, but it's a good one. There's a few things need to be done yet, but it's a dandy. I'm proud of it. It's better than what I have lived in. We always knew it was not the will of God for us to take a church if they had a good parsonage. Isn't God good to us? Hallelujah. Psalms 50:12, Jehovah said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I read that the other day and I said, Lord, here I thought I'd been given to you. And you said, if you was hungry, you wouldn't even ask me. Would I tell you? If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine. That's how rich my God is. So we give to the Lord. He would rather you'd give him your life and your praises. But if you give him that, you'll give him your pocketbook. It's not hard to give if you love the Lord. You can't love without giving. The dear black brother that had him up in court, you have to be careful now what you say, but had him up in court because he was suing his wife for divorce because she nagged at him all the time. And they said, well, why do you want a divorce? And he said, because all the time, just continually, she wants six bits, and I'm getting tired of it. Well, the judge said, well, let me ask you, what did she do with the 6 bits? He said, I don't know. I haven't given it to her yet. You remember, nobody loves without giving. You wives, there's your chance to say amen. And some of you missed it. If anybody really loves you, they'll give to you. Love is a giver. I've got grandchildren I need to tell you about it. But brother, they can come down, they can get in my pocket, they know it. I love those little outfits. There's something else. Now, they're not all exactly all together angels, but they just nearly are. But I love them. My father used to take me out and whip me, and he'd say, son, I hate to do this, hurts me worse than it does you. I never believed that. I said, if it's hurting you that bad, just let up. But our grandsons came down to see us, and I told their mama the other day, now those are the sweetest little boogers you ever saw. They are dandies and the smartest. I've never seen children that smart. I mean, they're smart and good looking, and they're just dandies. But I told their mama before I took them home with me, I said, now I want to know one thing. Have I got permission to whip them? Yes, you have. I said, well, I'll do her. We hadn't made with the first pit stop. Till off came my belt. I said, young man, I'm fixing to thrash you. He looked up at me and snubbed and believed me, and I didn't thrash him, but I made a believer out of him. Abraham gave tithe of all. Moses turned aside from the riches of Egypt, and Gehazi went after the wealth. Folks, I'm afraid a lot of these big meetings have got the wrong ambition altogether in it. And I'm afraid the Gehazi spirit is in many a healing service. And the book said the leprosy of Naaman clave to him. And if that's true, brother, there's going to be a lot of leprosy on the day of judgment. Let me hurry. I have got to hurry. I've got 3-4 more pages. How you make it is important. Let me hurry. I'll have to turn it high now. I can't stop and visit with you. How you make your money. Romans 12:11 says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You may not get caught with your dishonesty, but God saw it. If a man doesn't provide for his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I still agree with Paul, they that don't work shouldn't eat. And I hope Mr. Reagan won't let a few calamity howlers stop him from cutting out some of this fat stuff out of our welfare. I feel like we have the first man that's trying to do something, and I'm not in your politics. I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or a boll weevil. But I feel like for the first time, and this world is screaming because we've got somebody that would like to stop some of this welfare business. I believe every able-bodied person that could work and can work should work if they got opportunity. James 5, go to you rich men, weep and howl. Your miseries are come upon you. There's a judgment day. That's judgment. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold is canker. The rust of it will testify against you. Why? Because those you've hired have reaped in your field and you've defrauded them. A man told me not long ago, a wealthy man said, I used to run the cotton scales. And I had poor, ignorant people picking cotton. They didn't know how many pounds they picked. He said, I cheated them of going and coming. Brother, what a day. You haven't used false balances in the sight. My God still looks at the scales. I'll hurry. That if any should not work, they should not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Solomon said, give me neither poverty nor riches. Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Proverbs 16:18, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. If you can't get blessed financially without sipping your cocktails and hobnobbing and leaving Jesus out of your life, and leaving your church on Sunday and going to the lake, it'd be better off that you're in poverty. Where to give it? Malachi chapter 3 says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's under the old covenant. Leviticus says, not to forget the Levite in thine own gate. I know of a church. Where the pastor had to drive a school bus to make ends meet to pay for it. And in that church was a man who gave an evangelist in Oklahoma $50,000 so he could be recognized at one little banquet. There's going to be a reckoning day, mister. Say amen. It's not big things that are going to count. It's what we've done for God consistently. I do not believe any man is right with God that doesn't honor God with 1/10 of his income. Your religion will be phony when you get to the judgment bar. Elders that labor among you, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, elders that labor among you are counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. I looked that up the other day, double honor, and it's double pay. I don't think we'll worry about how much people get if they're feeding our soul with the Word of God. I could not give my pastor enough that blessed my soul. And I've seen some you couldn't, that were different. Thank you for those amens. I didn't say it. Proverbs 19:17. He that lendeth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and he that which he hath shall be given, and he will pay him again. Folks, you can't give to God and help the work of God without God paying it back. If you want to lend to God, lend to the poor. He'll pay it back. I'll hurry. My time is up. How we give our money? Liberally. Jesus saw the little widow, and she gave more than them all. She gave all of it. It's not how much. It's not who's the big one. It's the one that gives out of his heart, of his ability, to God Almighty. Let me hurry. Cheerful giver. Have you ever seen people that just act like it was the worst thing in the world to mention offering?
Jesus.
Would you say amen? I'm going to stop a little while because I want to see how guilty we are. I guess they went home too. God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm in a church, I hold revival in a church, and every time you mention offering, they clap. Man, they just broke loose and had a spell, and I wondered what's wrong with them. Pastor said we're going to take an offering, and they broke loose and clapped. He said we're going to give to God, they broke loose and clapped. He said, folks, we have a time here giving. God loveth a cheerful giver, not grudgingly. Paul said, even if I preach, if I don't do it willingly, I don't have a reward. This business of giving to God cheerfully, 2 Corinthians 9:7, not of necessity. When I was an evangelist, I felt like a charity case in many a church. Brother Brankle's up again. Brother Brankle, I'll tell you what, I don't like for it to be charity. I want them. I like for them to give to me in an offering. If I had a new Cadillac, or if I'm driving a 37 Chevy. Say amen. Doesn't matter. Someone said he doesn't need it. He's worthy of his hire. I'm going to give it to him. I give to people that have money. It's not of necessity. It's cheerfully. Say amen. If you have to be broke before you can get an offering, you'll stay broke the longest day you live, because sure as you get ahead, somebody will feel like they need to wait a while. Would you shout now? Like for the amens. Give not of necessity, but out of love. Give bountifully. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Had a man in my church got saved. He was a new Christian, and he was just a thrill with God. His deacon was his brother was a deacon in my church, and his brother was one of my ushers. And he was taking up the offering. He said, "Say," said, "my bud got saved, but said he's given more money than he can afford to. And I need to go talk to him." And said, "Brother Brankle, should I go back and talk to him?" Well, I said, "I never have told anybody not to give. But go tell him that we take an offering every night and see what he says." So he went around to him and said, "Say, Chess, we take an offering every night, and I've been noticing you've been giving quite a bit, and I thought I'd talk to you." "Oh," he said, "Bud, don't worry about me. I was going to give to run out anyway, and I just well give it big bills." Oh, glory. Bountifully. Hallelujah. Blessing. Skimpy measure. We pastored a church once, and they brought us things they couldn't eat. They'd bring things over and say, "Now, we couldn't eat this." Little girl came to the preacher and said, "Mama was going to bring you an old rooster, but it got well." One day at the dinner table, a little boy piped up about 6 years old and said, "Mama, pass me some more of that goat." She said, "Honey, that's not goat, that's roast beef." "Well, you said we was going to have the old goat Sunday." And the preacher was sitting there.
They'd invited the preacher home for dinner. I kind of got ahead of myself. I like the way you're shouting. Give bountifully. Don't you like to be around liberal people? And don't you feel a little bit embarrassed when you're around tightwads? Now, I don't like to see people wasteful. I think God doesn't want us to be wasteful. We ought to be good stewards of what God's given us. Some throw it away and then want other people to come to the rescue when they get in trouble. I think God wants us to be good stewards. But I think we ought to be liberal. God loveth a cheerful giver. Liberal giver. Give honestly. Ananias and Sapphira were killed in church because they kept back part of the price. God knows whether we're honest with their giving. Some folks, by the way they use their pen when they get through, they don't owe God anything. He owes them a little. Say amen. You can use your pencil and figure God clear out. I talked to one brother. He charged God mileage for driving to church. Right. But you, when you're all through, you haven't fooled anybody. Be honest when you give. Freely we give, freely we receive. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. God wants to prosper every one of you, that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. But it's not a matter of if some preacher taking advantage of some people and saying this is the only way you can be prosperous, and God's showing me now and telling me now you're supposed to give me. I have got very little time for that kind of work. You give me people that work for God and let Him bless us, and I'll be happy. Hallelujah.